So now I've barely touched the surface in describing this part biography, part critical essay, and an observation as a long-time teacher and reviewer. Tell us, what was it that drove you to write this book?
Well, I guess I wasn't driven so much as it just evolved fairly naturally after a number of years of reading and writing, many decades, in fact, of reading and writing, and thinking about writing in terms of what I do as a creative writing teacher. Mm-hmm. So I started thinking more seriously about putting them into a book. Mm-hmm. So I really just wanted to allow myself to reflect on what it meant to be a contemporary writer, but also particularly why reading has been so important to me throughout my life.
So what I like about this collection is the focus on this reading life and how important books have been in developing an understanding of the world. In your book, you talk about the experience of walking into a bookstore after you've won a book voucher and, you know, being kind of overwhelmed by choice. And I think we've all kind of, when we're young, we've seen that sort of experience where you've got the uncertain meeting place. It's sort of like the Borges has a story, The Library of the Babel, where there's just so many books and in a lifetime you're never going to be able to read them all. And tell us, what kind of advice would you give to someone? You talk about following their noses to find, you know, the writers that speak to them. What kind of advice would you have to people that want to find quality writing? Where do you think people should search?
Well, these days it's actually really easy, but the incident you're talking about was back when I was 18, mm-hmm. and we didn't have any source of information about books, and now you can just go to the internet and find out what the top selling books are. You open the papers, weekend papers, and read book reviews. Well, we had book reviews then, but in our household we didn't mm-hmm. have newspapers that contained book mm-hmm. reviews. In fact, I don't think we even had newspapers. So in that void, it was just really, really difficult to have any idea of what. I just had no guidance in my reading, and I literally didn't know what to read. So I started reading quite weird stuff because I had this faint idea that if it was Russian, it meant it was really, really good. So I'd read these really depressing Russian books. And then at some point I cottoned onto the fact that those Penguin paperbacks that had the grey-green spines were quality literature, so I gravitated towards them. But nowadays, I don't think I'd even need to give advice to people who say, what should I read and how should I find out what to read? And actually last semester a student said, can you tell me a list of good books to read? And I said to him, look, I'm still searching for that list myself after a lifetime of reading. I said, all I could do is tell you the books that I've loved. And he said, that's fine, that's a good start. So that was someone who was coming from a place where he had no background in literature.
That's interesting, because I can certainly remember that after the HSC, you know, okay, I've kind of read a bit of English here, but where do I go now? And it is a little bit daunting, just because you're thinking, well, a book, I mean, it's more of an investment than a film in that, you know, it's like 2 hours. Like, you're spending a fair bit of time actually picking and choosing. So I can kind of understand why people sometimes are a little bit reluctant at that time to maybe try something a little different.
And I think part of that reluctance comes from a lack of confidence. And I think the lack of confidence comes from this weird idea that there are certain books you should read. And I really resist that. I think they're just books you should read because you want to read them, not because they're particularly special. I mean, yes, I teach creative writing and I do have a list of books that I think anyone who wants to be a creative writer should read. But for the rest of the population, not trying to be creative writers, it's really what engages you. When you're young and you're forced to read stuff or made to feel guilty because you've read something, you haven't liked it. I think that's a sure way to turn off young readers.
Now, for all the sort of focus on literacy, you also observe how reading itself is often been deemed as a bit of an impractical indulgence, that, you know, we're meant to sort of read more as a utilitarian function.
Yes.
Which means there's sort of a bit of a guilt of transposed on people who spend a lot of time reading books for enjoyment. Tell us, how important is reading of getting pleasure out of it? What would you say is the important qualities of being able to enjoy a book?
Well, it's really interesting that for a long time, people like me did feel guilty for just sitting down reading a novel. But we've always had this gut feeling that reading is a really good thing to do. But now we have science coming weighing in to back all this up. So in the last 10 years, there's been a lot of really interesting work done on mainly coming out of America, places like Stanford University, done on examining what reading does for the brain and the development of the brain. And it's proven, more or less, that not only is reading good for you for a whole lot of reasons, but reading literary fiction, and reading fiction generally, but also reading literary fiction, is particularly good for you because it allows your imagination to develop and it sparks the right, and I'm going to get all this terminology wrong, I'm afraid, but it sparks all the right neural pathways in your brain that are really good for the development of the brain. And it's been demonstrated, for instance, that with children who are struggling to learn and children who might have developmental and emotional issues, reading a story is really beneficial because it obliges the brain to think sequentially. So a traditional narrative has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So the young brain engaging with that is being trained to think logically, but also because reading involves opening up other worlds, it's encouraging the imagination to flourish, and that is a good thing, obviously, especially in young children.
I believe there's also been research that readers of literary fiction also have higher levels of empathy.
And they do have higher levels of empathy. Yeah, there's been quite a bit, a little bit controversial research about that. But again, there have been scientific studies showing that it's one of the best ways to foster empathy